Having PBS Roadshow come to Stan Hewitt truly was a remarkable experience, right? To have the opportunity to have such an internationally recognized show with such a huge legacy in supporting design and preservation and collection of artifacts and art and all sorts of things, which certainly is very important to Stan Hewitt. And so to have them come here was very exciting for the estate.
Obviously, you had a lot of people come. That was last summer when they filmed it, right? And So it's going to be on the air this month in April?
Yes, it will be shared April 29th, May 6th, and May 13th. They were here last summer, and we were the highest requests for tickets they've had in at least their memory. They had over 10,000 ticket requests for this location.
That's amazing. Did they tell you why they thought it was, or did they just think that people here are just extremely enthusiastic or something?
So this area of Ohio is actually within 8-hour driving distance of 70% of the U.S. population. We are the furthest west outside of the Anchorage location this year that they were going. And so when you think about those things, many of these visitors were not coming here from Northeast Ohio. They were coming here from Wyoming and Idaho, and we had people here from like Mississippi and so forth and so on. So they were literally driving here so that they could have their unique and interesting items appraised for the season of Antiques Roadshow.
That's really interesting. I guess I assumed wrongly that it was mostly just people from right here in our own backyard that were so happy that they were coming that they just showed up.
Yeah, no. As a matter of fact, there were many people, local people who were really desperately trying to get tickets. Now, there was the lottery system through the roadshow itself, but then local PBS also had their own lotteries, systems, and ways to get tickets. So most of those local people came from that. The lottery from WGBH and PBS Roadshow, those people were coming from all over. So that was really exciting to have all of those visitors descend upon the estate and the region to get not only see us, but we know from our peers like the Art Museum and the Cuyahoga Valley who shared that they had an excess of visitors during that time as well.
Obviously, you were out walking around talking to some of the people.
Yeah.
What did they tell you that they thought was particularly interesting or eye-catching or enlightening about Stan Hewitt and about our area that they didn't know before? Did any of them tell you anything like that?
I think what most people don't recognize is that we are the sixth largest historic estate open to the public. So many people, they hear it's a historic house and they probably think like, you know, maybe the size of like Perkinstone Mansion or Howard House or something like that. When they come here and see, we are on 80 acres of property of wonderful, beautiful groomed gardens and this large estate with multiple historic structures on the estate, I think that's what really wows them. I think many of those out-of-state, out-of-town visitors were really unprepared for just how tremendous this estate was.
Well, I'm sure when we watch it on TV, we'll see all the cool finds that they brought. But when you were walking around talking to people, can you think of anything particularly unusual and eye-catching that you saw and you were like, oh, wow, you know, what's that?
I will tell you some of the more interesting ones. So you see a lot of people who come in with, you don't even see an item on them and you're thinking, why are they here? Because it's something small, right? It could be a pocket watch or a piece of jewelry. It's a small little thing. The thing that probably surprised me the most is at one point somebody came in and the way that they had to enter the property was they were transported from off property. So they couldn't bring anything large, right? You had to be able to carry it. It had to fit on the buses. So we had somebody walk on property with a 13-foot long piece of art.
Oh my gosh.
That was like on these like little trains of wagons that they had sort of attached together. And so I'm like, how did you get here? You couldn't have gotten on the bus with this thing. It's bigger than the bus. And so they had walked here. They parked and walked this 13-foot piece of art on property. But, you know, of course, you see everything from the local people. We saw a lot of amazing Goodyear memorabilia or tire rubbers industry memorabilia, a lot of amazing art. I will say I was not prepared for the number of beautiful pieces. There was a particular piece owned by a local doctor. The piece was named Ophelia. It was itself, I think, 8 feet tall by 4 feet wide. It was a stunning piece of art. But hearing the stories was probably the most memorable piece of the day. Everybody who brought something had a story of why they had this thing. that they just wanted to know, was it as special as it was to them in the eyes of the appraiser? And so to listen to all of those stories and hear everybody tell about their item and the history and legacy of that item was truly tremendous.
Yeah, I think that's what people can connect with, because everybody's got something special handed down in their family, and they know it's important to them, but maybe it's not so important to anybody else. And then if they find out it is, wow, that's fantastic. But there you are on this huge estate, and it is a family estate. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure a lot of people around here have been to Stan Hewitt, but there's probably plenty of people that haven't.
We're a wonderful intersection of thinking about the Gilded Age, the Industrial Age, the rubber industry, the change from, you know, when this estate was built, it was country estate. There was no neighbors, right? We were out in the country. They built this lovely home for themselves and to enjoy not only the family time, but arts and culture, as most people know. But yes, they filled it with so many lovely treasures from around the world. But I think some people are surprised about, you know, we're the birthplace of Alcoholics Anonymous. So that important meeting took place on this property in our Gate Lodge. And so, you know, having all of that down there for people to see, seeing these really beautiful gardens. But I would say, for the visitors from Antiques Roadshow, but more importantly, the appraisers, when they walked in and started to see what we had in our collection, right? Many historic estates don't have a complete collection. They either have to retrieve it or they buy pieces from that age and put it in. To have the pieces that we have that not only date, you know, the early 1900s, but predate some by some hundreds of years, some of those items in the amazing condition that they are in, was a bit of a surprise to at least those appraisers, and I think a little exciting to them as well.
As we wrap up, if you have a message for people in our area about what's coming up at Stan Hewitt this season and what they should be excited about, tell us what that is then.
We open April 2nd. It's on a Tuesday, so we're excited to be open again and seeing all of you come to visit us. Of course, we start this weekend with our Easter event, and then we go right in with an eclipse event, as probably many of us are getting excited for that eclipse on the 8th. And then we're doing our Antiques Roadshow viewing parties, and then we have a new permanent exhibit talking about the building of this estate and the collection of all of those artifacts called Blueprints to Bricks that's opening. So we're very excited to share that. And that's a permanent exhibit here on the estate. And we've made some changes to our conservatory to make it more historically accurate. And so we're excited for our visitors to come and see that. But as many of you know, we'll be right into our season free events with Father's Day car show and Founders Day and Off the Vine and Shakespeare and more throughout the season. So we're here and excited to have you all come to visit us again.